Seachtain, an Indo Askeilige.
Lower and Wanchirna Elner Donaldson Lish and Ifagachin Akanir Lower Jeffrey the Dinyerby.
Ni Heg Willem Policy Shachon, Ian Rodayana Univira Listad occur Leshnabaj Bogashoot.
Skilty, Fis, Turmi.
Nimajigiri in Dram Honyal Ama, Tamajigiri Munchain Honyalista.
Seachtain, find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by cardiologist Dr. Paddy Barrett, chatting all things cardiovascular disease.
The way I look at this is that the two statistics that everyone should really be aware of is cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death globally and in most developed nations, but it's also the most preventable. 90% of it can be prevented at an early stage if you just follow the right steps and formula. So I look at it as a scary opportunity.
As ever, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
If I was Horan, I'd be saying the one key thing that Kerry have struggled with over the last specifically 2 years is themselves in the latter stages of the championship.
If they are within any sort of swinging distance with 10 minutes to go, even if they're within 7 or 8 points, they will test Kerry in every sort of conceivable way. They'll come at them from every angle.
Hello and welcome to this week's throw-in with Dublin legend Philly McMahon. I'm Sinead Kazan and I'm also joined by the Irish Independent's Conor McKeown. So we're down to the final eight in the Football Championship. The qualifiers are done. There's been some shocks, notably Tyrone's exit, and some surprises. Clare and Derry in the quarters, anyone? Well, today Philly breaks down all four quarterfinals and tries to put us inside the dressing room of each team as they prepare to fight for a place in the last four. Well, Philly, let's start with quarterfinal between Armagh and Galway, which is the first game at Croke Park on Sunday. Armagh are like the overnight success that's been 8 years in the making under Ciarán Maghaoine with their winning run through the qualifiers. And then we've got Galway, Connacht champions, who somehow seem to be coming into this game under the radar.
Yeah, well, the carrot for those two teams and the other two teams is that they could possibly play in an All-Ireland final if they obviously win this one and the next one. So I think that's what will be in the minds of the players and management. But I do think, on the other hand, I think what every team will be saying this weekend, whatever side of the draw you're on, is do not lose focus on what's ahead of you here. Focus on what we have here, get a good performance, and let's see what happens after that. So Armagh are obviously on the crest of a wave and they're moving well, and the narrative in the outside of their camp, which might be feeding into it a little bit, is that this is not a bad draw for us. We could get to an All-Ireland semi-final. We've had a really good year, a little bit of a blip in Ulster, but I would be on the side of caution if I was Armagh, because I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think Galway are going to be big challengers here, like, in this game. They've brought some individuals into the backroom team. I heard Shane Walsh speak about Bernard Dunn. I know the work Bernard Dunn does. If he does the same bit of work that he's done with us, I think they'll benefit massively from it. And I think the management team will benefit. I would have seen some of the energy that the Galway management team over the years would have had on the sideline, and I think they have a bit more calmness about them. And that breeds into the younger players on the pitch. So if they have that three stalwarts in terms of Conroy, Walsh and Comer on it on the day in Croke Park, I think it's going to be a tough game for Armagh. And I think if Armagh think it's going to be an easy day, or they think they can show up, I think they'll find themselves having a shorter summer than they thought.
You mentioned Bernard Dunn there, and obviously you would have worked with him. What exactly will he bring to the Galway setup? He'll work mainly with the management, is that right, Philly?
The one thing that I've seen is that the Galway management team, they were very energetic when we played them over the years, and I think that's seen now to be a bit more calmer and relaxed, and that definitely, as I said, breeds into the group. When you look over and your manager's a bit, energetic, or your coaches or your staff or selectors, whatever it is, that kind of rubs off on you. You get a bit jittery. With your manager's nice and calm, and I suppose the media would have questioned Jim Gavin's demeanour over the years and how unenergetic he was in the sideline, but that's the way it is. So what will he do? I'm not sure. I would assume that he'll work with players individually. I'm sure that he'll have some sort of input into the management team. And I think overall, just the fact that he's been around a team that's been very successful over the last 10 years will automatically have an impact on that group.
Conor, have you noticed a difference kind of in Pádraig Joyce this year? Obviously, they brought in Keane O'Neill there as well.
Hard to say for definite. He was one of those managers for certain who was very vocal on the line, who wouldn't put a whole lot of effort into trying to conceal how he was kind of feeling on the touchline. So I don't know how that changed. I actually haven't seen Galway in the flesh since the first round of the league. So it'll be interesting to see now on Sunday whether there's any kind of difference. But, you know, like Joyce is one of these figures, and Kieran McGinley is one as well, who are so iconic within their own county, and that it gives them enormous gravitas, but I think it also puts huge expectation on them as well. And I think for Joyce and McGinley, they're trying to work with players that wouldn't have been at the same level maybe as they were at the very start. So there's a kind of an interesting comparison between the two, but you know, like Joy started off with a very, very explicit way of playing for his team. He wanted him to play in the front foot the whole time. And I think an awful lot of, and it was no surprise because he was such a brilliant footballer, such a gorgeous footballer to watch, that he would be an ideal as a manager as well. And I think they've become a more solid version of that. I think Keane O'Neill would probably have something to do with that. But like the Bernard Dunn thing, again, without knowing, I think having somebody around the place who just understands what it's like to be an elite level athlete, what that means for how you spend your downtime, you know, how you recover well, how you switch off, which I would imagine is a huge thing for Gaelic footballers at this time of year. It's okay for Dublin and Mayo, who have, you know, most of those players have been down this road a million times before. But this is a brilliant weekend because we have a lot of teams who haven't been here before, you know, and I imagine being able to maybe switch off, you know, at the times when you're not consumed by training and recovery, that will put players in a good frame of mind. So I think that's the kind of thing that he would bring to the setup. Because, you know, again, when it comes to gravitas, if you're a former world champion, you have it straight away. You know, I think players kind of, particularly high performance athletes in Galway's case, they'd be eaten out of the palm of somebody like Bernard Dunn's hand if that's what he is there to do. And I'm only assuming that.
Yeah. How important is the backroom team for counties to kind of go to the next step? I suppose McGinley as well, he's brought in Kieran Donaghy. It's his second championship. And I know Donaghy said in the past that it was his own up and down experiences through the years as a player that kind of helped create, you know, that gives him that awareness and understanding of players. You know, McGinley's got Donaghy in there as well. Like, how important are those kind of support systems for players and managers coming to such an important game like this weekend's game for Galway and Armagh?
The easy answer would be, yeah, they're massive, but it's very subjective, really. Like, there's incidents of coaches that have maybe gone around a couple of teams and it's worked well in some of the teams, but hasn't really transferred in other teams that way. There's obviously then the thing of ex-players from different counties, like Kieran Donaghy, Tomás O'Shea maybe going to Offaly and stuff like that. So it's very subjective. But what would they bring? Like, I suppose they're bringing experience from the other counties. Like, the big thing is that with Dublin winning over the last couple of years, it's nearly a think tank in itself, isn't it, really? Like, because they're bringing, it's like even Rochford going to Donegal, they're kind of bringing the same information. It's not really the information that has conquered Dublin, let's say, right? So it's the same information from the different counties going around. However, like an ex-player, like I would think like Donaghy would bring maybe the basketball element into it, or maybe his experiences, which wouldn't be like a Rochford or maybe O'Shea. I don't know what O'Shea would bring in terms of this modern, the way the game is modernly tactically adapted. That's not to say he wouldn't have any experience or knowledge on that. I'm just saying, obviously, he was out of the game for a while. It's still adapting and it's still grown as the years go on. So I don't want to give you the easy answer, Sinead, and say, ah, yeah, it's great. Everybody, you know, if they come from a different county. But I do think they will bring, they'll stimulate the group. They will certainly help with the blind spots of the management team. And I think that's what Bernard Dunn will do for Galway as well. He'll create a different stimulus. Kieran Donnie the same. Rochford's going to Donegal the same. But again, as I said, it's the same. For a lot of the times, it's the same information just being regurgitated around. If it was somebody from the Dublin camp, from a backroom team, you'd kind of think then, hold on, this is different information, like, you know. So I just wanted to make it clear, right? There's a definite, you have to define the difference between a backroom team and a management team. So your management team is your manager, your coaches, your selectors, and then your backroom team is your S&Cs, your medical team, nutritionists, psychologists. I think people cross them over too much. Your backroom team is your backroom team. I definitely don't. I think there's two different teams. There's a backroom team and there's a management team.
It feels like Galway, Conor, have the most to prove though coming into this game, don't they? I mean, this is surely the day on Sunday when their big name players, you know, your Shane Walsh's, Damien Comers, tell those Armagh young boys like Rian O'Neill's and Jarley O'Byrne's, like, it's not your time yet. Is there more pressure on Galway coming into this game?
Probably is, but there's still a fair bit of pressure, I think, on Armagh, because like, if you just want to take the Armagh example first, you know, for the past 8 years, you've nearly been saying that of all the teams, the provincial system is stopping Armagh the most from growing because it's such a very claustrophobic environment there. There's no easy draws. It's hard to just get that first win, and they have found it hard to win. And now this year, having found the exact same issues when they came up against Donegal, they got the worst qualifier draw imaginable by having to play Donegal and Tyrone, the two sort of foremost forces in Ulster football for the last 10 years, and beating them both, gotten the quarterfinal draw that isn't Dublin and Kerry. So the planets are starting to align for Kieran McGeaney after 8 years there. And I think if they don't win, it will be as good an opportunity as they'll ever get to make that step up. And if they do make the step up, they look like they're primed to keep going. So there's massive, massive, I wouldn't say pressure necessarily so much as what's at stake for Armagh. I think it's huge. But I think you're right about Galway. For the Porrick Joyce project, it was a couple of years when they just didn't kind of, they didn't live up to the potential. They kind of hinted at going somewhere. And having won Connacht, having beaten Mayo, because I think that draw was really good for Galway this year. They had very little time to recover from the league. They had to sharpen their focus for Mayo, and beating them is the ideal situation to set you up for the rest of the summer. So they have huge potential. They have huge variety in their attack. That's the one thing, that it's not just the case of having good forwards. It's having lots of different fellas who can do lots of different things and threaten you in different ways. And Shane Walsh, when he's on his game, is practically unstoppable. The way he moves, the angles that he turns at, the speed that he can accelerate on the turn, he's very, very hard to stop. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Armagh do with him at the weekend, because he tends to do an awful lot of his damage out the pitch and then kind of come in and go. So, like, I think it's going to be a brilliant game. I think there's so much attacking talent on the pitch. And I think both managers, you know, I think there's a misconception about Kieran McGeaney. You know, I think both managers think in attacking terms first. You know, I think this team is what Kieran McGeaney has wanted all along. And I think that's what Kieran Donnelly brings. He's running the attack. And same with Porrick Joyce. So, I think Sunday's match, the two games on Sunday, but I think this one will be really tight. And I think in terms of the kind of football we see and the kind of entertainment that we see, it could be a blockbuster, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We will move on to Clare against Derry. So obviously the winner of Armagh against Galway will play the winner of Clare against Derry in their quarterfinal. Look, brilliant to see Clare make the last eight of the All-Ireland Championship. But do we expect to see anything other than a Derry win here, Philly?
Well, the one thing you can say about Clare is the and it's been mentioned a lot, is their never say die attitude, you know. So nothing changes in terms of their, I'd say, preparation mentally. That nobody's given us a chance here.
They've got nothing to lose.
It's just another game. So there's a lot of less pressure on them. I think, as I said all year, if you're in that change room, what you're essentially saying is keep this team contained, ask them questions in terms of Derry. Be patient on the ball, because they will get men behind the ball. But also, when we get a chance, going after their kickouts is going to be crucial. Can we get them when they're not structured? can we get goals and be clinical when we need to be? And then we just set up and we just absolutely dog them till they're sick of us. And like I think Clare have danger men there as well that are going to cause them hassle. So I think it's one of those things where Clare are being wrote off. Do I still think Derry have too much for them? I do. If Derry don't win this game, it's because of themselves. It's because they've been complacent on where they are in terms of the championship this year. But another brilliant story, very similar to Armagh. And I think when you look at all the provincial winners, Derry are the ones that you're not really looking at as much as the other three, like, really, are you? You know, it's the big outlier. And when you look at some of their statistics, they're actually up there with the top three. And, well, definitely they're up there with the four provincial winners, like, statistically. So just thinking about performances-wise, not just, they've won. The standards that KPI is are up there. Scores against, shots against. They're up there with the likes of Kerry, Dublin, for me. So that'll show you the standards they're at. If they drop below them standards, that's where the cause themselves has.
Yeah. Conor, I think we did mention it before about, you know, there was some talk, will Derry change their style when it comes to the All-Ireland series in Croke Park? But why would they? I mean, surely they are going to double down on their style when it comes to Croke Park on Sunday.
Ah, yeah. It would be an act of harakiri now to abandon the style that not only did you win Ulster for the first time since 98, but you cleaned off the top table. Like, it wasn't any old Ulster title. Like, they took out the three big teams, the teams that would have been 1, 2, 3 and all of people's preferences for an Ulster title. So, but it's interesting just in regards to, like, I'm not sure how this style translates to Croke Park. I know there's not a huge difference in this physical space that's on the pitch in Clonus and the pitch in Croke Park. But there's enough, and there's just a feeling of vastness in Croke Park. And if you're trying to condense all that space, I just think you leave more gaps. And that'll be interesting. And we spoke about this before. Derry's three games in Ulster. They got ahead early. They got goals very early in two of the games. And against Tyrone, they got an early flurry of points. And I'm interested to see what happens if they go behind or they don't hit the front of the match. They're going to have to press on a small bit. They have huge pace. That's the other thing that I think would be very interesting to watch in Croke Park. In all of their matches, they were able to set up little one-on-ones around the pitch. And the amount of players that have absolute scorching pace. So that should be a huge thing for them. So you'd expect them to win. But there's one point in all of this. This is the first year ever where we have all four provincial finals over the same weekend and four quarterfinals over the same weekend. And that means that all four of the provincial winners have had 4 weeks without a game. Now, Philly, you'd be better qualified than me to tell you what that does. But there's no doubt that there's now a complete separation from, like, an emotional separation, a physical separation, you know, a psychological separation from their last game. So I don't think any of the provincial winners, regardless of even Derry, who came through so impressively, I don't think there's any momentum anymore. You know, I think your momentum is shot. You have to go down a small bit and bring it back up again. So just from that point of view, you know, the teams that played 2 weeks ago and won the qualifiers, particularly Clare, who finished so well, I do think that they have a bit of that form that will carry them in. And it will just be interesting to see the provincial champions, how they start at the weekend. Because sometimes you see that they'll gradually click into gear, but it might take them 5 or 10 minutes. And if that does happen to Derry this weekend and they fall behind, it will be a different dynamic to any of the games they played this year.
Yeah, I feel that will really come into play when we talk about the Kerry Mayo game, but we might as well discuss it now, Philly. I mean, how big a factor is it? You know, will that 4 week delay be? I mean, it feels like we'll hurt Kerry a bit more because they had that Munster final against Limerick. But in generally for the provincial finals, that 4 week break, that 4 week gap, how will teams manage it? And will it still be a factor this weekend?
Yes, massive factor. I would say the only thing they can go off in the last 4 weeks is, let's say, their ABB games. What level? And even at that, it's still not as accurate. It's still not as similar as you playing a match in a championship situation environment, right? So did they play ABB games? What sort of numbers were they hitting in those ABB games? I'm not talking about just scoring. I'm talking about, like, Kerry were ahead of everybody in terms of their statistics, their scoring opportunities. They were up the top, conceding the least They were hitting all the really good KPIs, performance KPIs that would say, you know, you get this kind of question around the Kerry X players and how are you doing? Ah, we're doing okay. That Q Hurs type thing. Kerry were, when I was saying Kerry were ahead of the rest, they were ahead of the rest in terms of performance KPIs, right? So they were ahead. Has them numbers dropped off over the last 4 weeks? That's what I'd be looking at if I was their management team and their backroom team. And are we still on that trajectory of beating those numbers and beating ourselves because we're at the top of the chain? All the other teams, then it should be, are we getting up to the level of the numbers that they have? So that will tell. So if they get beaten by Mayo, well, then you can answer that question, because then you can say, well, beaten by Mayo, maybe their standards were off the last 4 weeks. That's the only way you can judge that. There's no way you can say now, I think that 4 week break is going to impact them. You're just assuming that.
So was it just the ABVB games that really kept you know, on your toes going into when you had to deal with the break going into an All Ireland quarterfinal?
Regardless of the time of the break, right? All you can judge yourself off, like, so if I'm playing for Dublin this week, or playing Cork, I don't know how well I've trained this week. I'm assuming I've trained well based off my last training session or the training sessions before that, prior to that. But I still don't know if that's good enough to do my job against Cork, right? But if I go out and perform really well against Cork, then I know, looking back, I've trained well, right? So that's the way I would have seen my preparation. I would have used the example of the time we played Tyrone and we absolutely blitzed them, but they underperformed also. It was just that perfect storm. And I remember then looking back at the week of what...
The All-Ireland final?
No, I think it was maybe a semi-final, I think.
Quarter-final in 11.
Quarter-final, was it? The thing that stuck out for me was, as I said before, Sean Kavanagh came out after the game and said, it's the most physical team we've ever played against. We just everything just clicked tactically, technically, physically, everything clicked. And then it just didn't click for them. And you just had that perfect storm, as I said. But looking back of that week or two of preparation, that's what you would look at as a carbon copy and say, going into that next game in the semi-final, you have to either be at that level of preparation and training, or you're going to drop below your standards in that game, the next game. So that's all you... It's not exact science, like, you know. So Kerry, for me, the key thing here is, have they been going after their consistency in terms of their performance KPIs to keep them ahead of the group?
Yeah, we will come back to Kerry in a moment now, but we're going to go on to Dublin against Cork. You're still a Dublin player, so keep imagining yourself in this situation here, Philly. You know, of course, the expectation is that, look, Dublin will beat Cork this weekend. So how would you treat this game as a Dublin player? Is it... Do you kind of imagine, do you set the standards for yourself that, you know, that you would set if you play Kerry or Mayo in the semi-final? Or what would the mindset be for a Dublin player coming in against Cork this weekend?
Respect Cork like any other team. Respect them. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. Prepare like you are going to play the best team in the country with the best players. And you need to be on your A game. And make sure that there's no sniff of complacency around you, in you and around you, in terms of your teammates. They would have been, for me, the key things that I would have looked for. Constantly looking for information on players that you haven't played against in a long time. We played against, when I was there, we were playing against Cork in friendlies, and they were good games, by the way. They weren't walkovers either. We played them twice last year in friendlies. So I don't think any of the Dublin players will be in that mindset. I really don't. They've no reason to be there because of what has happened this year in terms of the league. I think the competition of the group is getting a little bit stronger as the season's gone. There's a couple of lads coming back from injury. So it just depends. I would feel that there's enough experience in that Dublin camp that are going to be on the money in terms of what they need to be focused on. Will they have a little bit of a blip? Will Cork have corporate patches throughout that game? I think they will. So that's the adversity that you need to be thinking of. What do we do with that? How do we deal with that? When that happens, what do we expect? And how can we come out and minimise that danger and that purple patch? So focus on what you can control and get after, you know, your homework like you would have done with any other team.
Yeah, is this going to be almost an exercise in containment, Conor, for Cork? We saw what they did for the first 50 minutes or so with Kerry in that Munster semi-final. You know, what can they do to try and just, I suppose, hang on to the coattails of Dublin for that opening while on Saturday?
Well, I think they'll do what most teams do. They'll get a lot of men behind the ball. They'll form a very sort of tight defensive shape. They'll try and, you know, stop Dublin's running game. They'll definitely play with a sweeper in front of their full back line. There's no chance they'll fall into the same trap that Kildare did. And I think they'll probably do it to a point. You know, I do think there'll be an element of rust about Dublin this weekend. I don't think that's, you know, that they're as susceptible to that as any other team. So I think Cork can do that, you know, and I think Cork have, you know, they still have good players like Sean Powder's pace, like he can hurt you from deep. Ian McGuire in the middle of the park, Brian Hurley up front. Like Cork have enough things that will consume Dublin this week that they won't be looking beyond this game. And I think that's probably a good thing for Dublin to make sure, because the thing about Dublin and they're almost a victim of their own kind of consistency over the years, that when Dublin show up for a game like this, because their calling card is the Dubs have these standards, they bring them every single day, this is what they do. When they don't rise up to those standards, all of a sudden we're thinking, well, this is a crisis. You know, they're not at it here. You know, they operate off a different sort of energy to Mayo, for instance, who, you know, stunk the place out in Croke Park last week or a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be talking about them as possibly beating Kerry on Sunday. So for Dublin, it's key that they just hit those levels this weekend, because, you know, if Dublin produce a bad performance against Cork and stick it over the line, which is like a possible outcome, you know, I think I'm not sure how much you could rectify in space of 2 weeks going into an All Ireland semi-final against Kerry or Mayo. So there's a lot riding on this for Dublin this weekend. You know, if they can get back to the energy and the sort of attacking, efficiency that they had against Meath and Kildare, well, then we know that Dublin are where we suspect they are for the All Ireland race. But if there's a drop this weekend, I think that raises more questions.
One eye has to be on what's coming next, Mayo or Kerry. And I'm talking about from me, not from a player's point of view, because they won't be thinking that way. But from me, outside of the camp now, there has to be one eye on Kerry, like, and Mayo. If you fall below your standards against Cork, I would imagine you're going to find it really hard, and it's an uphill struggle against the next two teams that you possibly could be playing against. So I just think the standards have to be important. They have to get after. If you look at that game, if you look after the Dublin-Cork game, and Dublin have won, the key thing I'd be saying is, well, what standard, what performance levels were we at compared to Mayo and Kerry? And that's the information you give back to the players. So it's, we're not on it. We're not up there with them two. So we've a lot of work to do over the next couple of weeks. Or we're up there now. And that breeds confidence. And we're ready to go now. We just need to kick on a little bit. But there's still a bit more work to do. That's still always going to be the case, you know. Just to keep the lads on their toes, I'd say. I'm really, really buzzing for these quarterfinals. I think it's been a brilliant championship so far, and I think these quarterfinals are going to be very interesting, so I'm buzzing for it.
Yeah, and we've saved the best for last, Kerry against Mayo, obviously 4 o'clock on Sunday. So this is like the Mayo conundrum, where on the one hand you wonder what Mayo will turn up, and on the other hand you know exactly what Mayo will turn up. I mean, it is Croke Park, it's championship, and this is where they have a tendency to bring it, isn't it, Philly?
Yes, if I was Horan, I'd be saying the one key thing that Kerry have struggled with over the last specifically 2 years is themselves in the latter stages of the championship.
How do you mean?
Well, against Tyrone, you could say there's a lot of variables that maybe impacted them losing that game. I'd say one of the huge ones is themselves, and you could say that they had a bit of a break. Between that, I think that maybe complacency set in within that time frame, that they thought, you know what, we've Tyrone here, we push by this. And then you've seen the year before, we were Cork, you know. So there is that little bit of a wobble in Kerry. And I don't think it's because of the opposition as much as it is Kerry themselves.
Do you think that there's a weakness there mentally?
Well, the last 2 years have shown a little bit of that. I wouldn't say it's a huge weakness. How I would counter that is this. I don't think that was the management's fault the last 2 years, but there is a different management in now. So who knows? Is Clifford fully fit? Is he going to be risked to play? I think it depends on, you know, if they're in the melting pot and they need to get over the line. But they would be also thinking of, if we risk Clifford here and we get through, what's going to happen in the semi-final if he's to play the Dubs, you know? So, but if I was Mayo, as we always hear about Dublin and as we hear about Kerry, get after that full back line, not really sure about that. Now, I think if I was Mayo, I'd be more banking on the runners, the strong runners from deep, which will also have an impact on Kerry's forwards' energy. So your Kerry forwards are going to have to chase and tag those type of runners. So that'll impact them on the other end offensively, Kerry offensively. I just think it's a really good matchup. Regardless of how well Mayo done in the last game, I think it's a really good matchup because they're very similar styles. Obviously, Kerry are a bit more kicking, Mayo are a bit more running, but I think these are two giants going head-to-head, and I think it's going to be... I really think it's going to be in the melting pot with 5-10 minutes to go.
Yeah, Conor, like Mayo really do almost defy analysis. I mean, they were so brutal against Kildare in the first half in their qualifier game, and they always just seem to be teetering on that cusp of disaster, don't they?
Yeah, it's almost like they're waiting for the point in the game where they have to push that really extreme button, and it's like they bring the madness out of themselves, you know, like... And when they press up on opposition teams, which they did early in the second half, and go after the kick out, like that is their best attacking weapon. That is their best chance creation. It's not kicking ball into the full forward line. It's not winning clean ball and the forwards working off each other. When they press, and that's what their inside forwards are very, very good at, they will press really high up. And if you concede a bad kick out, as Kildare did a couple of times, Aaron O'Neill got a hard time for about 10 minutes, they can turn that into not just 1-2, 1-3, but an awful lot of momentum and an awful lot of energy in the game. The problem is you can't really do that from the start of the match because it's so high attritional. And you're inviting the team to kick the ball over the top of you. So you have to wait for your moments. You have to spring that trap. But like, you know, if you go back to the first half of that game, their shot selection was so poor. Some of their kicking at goal was so poor. With the caveat that there was a very strong wind that day. I think the scoring zone was much closer to goals than we actually thought. But the Mayo forwards didn't take that into account themselves. And they were just really, really bad. But in the second half, like, you know, like there used to be the time when Colin Boyle and Lee Keegan used to raid forward from wing backs, and Mayo were hard to stop because you had one coming from either wing. But now you have Keegan and Oisin Mullen coming from the full back line, Owen McLaughlin and Paddy Durkin as well. So they have so many good runners and they're coming from so far forward that it's going to be a difficult task for Kerry. Like, I don't think that, you know, Paddy Clifford or Paul Geaney, these lads, they're going to want to be tracking their men up and down the pitch all day. So Kerry have to take that into account when they decide how they're going to set up their defence, because that's where it counts. But the big thing is, if Clifford is not right and Mayo put Oisin Mullen on him, there's a fair chance they could take Clifford out of the game, because Mullen is so athletic, he's so quick, that if Clifford is not physically right, he'll just keep getting out in front of him. He'll keep beating him to the ball. And then the other thing is Ryan O'Donoghue, and I think that's a massive call. If Ryan O'Donoghue is in any way fit, I think Mayo have to play him, because without him, they have no ball-winning outlet. He is... 3 years into his inter-county career, he is by far the most important forward that Mayo have. And if Clifford was off it or didn't play and Ryan O'Donoghue did play, I think it could nearly tilt the game back to balance. Like, you'd still expect Kerry to win, but I think it's going to be an awful lot closer, and there'll be a lot more drama, I think, between now and the end. There's no outcome sitting here now other than a handsome Mayo victory that you'd be surprised with by Sunday afternoon.
Horan, after the game against Kildare, said that they had a poor start. Their energy was poor. I think they're going to go after that. I think they're going to try have if they don't have a good start.
This is where they can do damage to Kerry and really show up that 4 month off, or sorry, 4 week.
But the reason why I'd say that is also, you can have a poor start against a team like, let's say, Kildare, right? You can have a poor, they've shown, you can have a poor start against Kildare and you'll get it back and you'll keep fighting and you'll show character and you'll get, like, because that's, they have it in abundance in Mayo. I don't think you can do that with Kerry. Kerry are so good that if you give them that head start, you mightn't get it back. They might just keep kicking on. So I think they're going to go after. We can remember, Mayo are not shooting the lights out at the minute. Like, I think, I don't know if it was the Kildare game, they only scored three from playing the first half. Am I right in that, Connor? Was it the Kildare game, they only scored three from playing the first half?
Yeah.
So they're not shooting the lights out. And I do think if Kildare didn't concede that goal, they would have struggled. Would they have won? I don't know, but they would have struggled. The Jordan Flynn goal flattered them and it looked like a bigger win than it was. However, what I would say from the Mayo point of view, from them, what did they learn going from the Kildare game to this game is that they still have that character. They still have that resilience that Kerry haven't been exposed to this year. So can, like, at any stage, if you're Horan, you're going, lads, be confident in this because we are the ones that have shown resilience, persistence. We are the ones that have fought regardless of what has happened to us, what adversity we've come up against. They haven't. They've had an easy run here. So when they get a purple patch, contain it. You know, don't make sure we shift that momentum fairly quickly. And once we keep doing that, we will be okay because mentally we've been here before.
But this is why Jack O'Connor was brought in, Connor, like to bring that hard-nosed approach back into Kerry again.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jack probably brought back in because he's just such a shrewd kind of manager. He would have brought in the right kind of people. But it's very hard to contrive the situation that Philly's talking about. You know, it's very hard to replicate it in training. It's very hard to test fellas' character and generate situations or, you know, simulate situations where the game isn't going how they're expecting it to go. The opposition will not stop coming at you here. You know, and all of a sudden you get that sinking feeling again. You know, like a lot of these Kerry players have been around for 5 or 6 years. An awful lot of them have experienced bad defeats in games where they were expected to win and probably should have won. And I think until you actually go and get over the line, you just, it's hard not, I would imagine, it's human nature to kind of get a bit of a sinking feeling. Now, like, you know, once this Kerry team has so much attack and talent that if they do get over the line and win in All-Ireland, you can see them winning, you know, three out of the next five or something like that. But until you do, I think that question is always there. And no matter what situation Mayo are faced with at the weekend, if they are within any sort of swinging distance with 10 minutes to go, even if they're within 7 or 8 points, they will test Kerry in every sort of conceivable way. They'll come at them from every angle and they'll try and put them at the back foot. They'll try and turn over the kickouts because that's one area where Kerry, unlike all the other top teams, have not had a settled lineup. They've chopped and changed their goalkeeper so much over the last 4 or 5 years. And I'd expect that Mayo will go bald-headed after that because they do that to everybody, you know. So, yeah, it'll be a huge one. Now, the flip side of that is that if Kerry come through a massive test from Mayo this weekend, they're in great shape going forward. Like, that is as
really
tough
benefit them, yeah,
a situation as they're ever going to face because Mayo will ask different questions. They'll make their forwards work backwards. You know, as I said, they'll go after the kick-out. And they'll really put them in an awkward situation. And I think if Kerry come through it, which I do expect them to do, I think they'd be in really, really good stead going into the semi-final.
Okay, nicely teed up, lads. Just prediction time now. So Armagh against Galway, lads, who are you tipping there?
I'll wait for Philly because I don't
know. I'm waiting for you.
I think a bit tight. No, I actually think Galway are going to win it. I've kind of flirted with Armagh like a lot of people during the week. But I just think that Galway have been building up to this for a while. And even as I say it, I'm not particularly convinced, but I'll go with Galway anyway.
Jesus, first look of concentration on your face there, Philly. What are you thinking?
Yeah. I'm like, this is the big one for me. I don't know if I can go. I'll go with, because I'm wearing a purple top today. I know it's similar to the Galway colours. I'll go with Galway.
Okay. Clare against Derry?
Derry.
Yeah, I think Derry as well, but I think that'll be an awful lot closer than people are imagining. Clare are a team that have a very, very strong sense of togetherness, whatever that is. Mm. And I think they'll keep that one tight for not longer than people think.
Yeah, no, those great celebrations after they got into the quarter. So it definitely seems like a good team sense there. Dublin against Cork?
Dublin.
Yeah.
And Kerry against Mayo?
I've already given it to Kerry, so I let Philly pick Mayo.
Are you going for Mayo, Philly?
No, not going for Kerry. Yeah, I just think they can be exposed in the full back line.
Okay, well, it is going to be a cracking weekend. Well, that's it for this week's Throw-In with Billy McMahon. I'll be back with Michael Verney on Monday's show to look back on how the quarterfinals played out with Dick Clarkin and Kieran Whelan. You can listen, rate and follow on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. And we'll be back again next week for more. Bye for now.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.